I'm so honored to stand before you, because I respect you as servants of God, and God called you to be the builders of the kingdom. Although I'm in Uganda, but we are fellow builders in the kingdom of God. No matter where you are, we have the same kingdom. We have the same master. We are serving the same God. Therefore, I have to respect you because of the great work which you are doing in this great nation, also as I'm doing it in our great Africa. But we are serving the same God. Therefore, I have to respect you and to take it as an opportunity that God has given me this opportunity to speak to you and to share with you what God has put on my heart. Yesterday I told you that there's this ministry, it's apostolic. That's what the Lord told me, that this ministry is apostolic. And the word apostolic, or the word apostle, means somebody who is sent. He's sent to do a certain work. We are here on earth. The Bible says that we don't belong here. We are not of this world. But why are we living on this world? If we are not on this world, why are we living on this world? If we don't belong to the world, but why are we living on the world? Because we are on the mission. We know where we are coming from. We know where we belong. But we are here on earth for a mission. We were sent to do a certain mission. Now this ministry, it's under apostolic anointing. That means this ministry is sent. Sent to do something in the kingdom of God. Sent to do the work of the kingdom. The ministry is sent to do the work of the sender. The one who sent the minister, who sent us here. That's our God. You understand? Now, as we are in the ministry, which is apostolic, we are sent. We don't belong here, but we are here for a divine purpose. We are here. We are on the mission. We have a work to do. We have something to work on. As we are here to do that, then we have to be ready. We have to be prepared. Then I told you that the Lord told me that he has a great work which he wants to do here, and he is about to do it, but most of people, they are not ready. You understand? They are not ready. God, he wants to use us, and he has a great work, but he's waiting, and he wants people who are going to work with. Remember, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that God, we are fellow worker with God. We work hand in hand. That means God cannot do what he wants to do without you. The same time, you cannot do what you want to do without God. But hand in hand, we work together. Now, that's why God is saying that you are not ready. He wants to work with you. He wants to fulfill the work which he wants to fulfill. But because you are not ready, now he's trying to drag, he's trying to call you, he's trying to call your attention. You need to please be ready, because there's a great work which is about to happen. Be ready, because he's about to do something. He knows that he cannot do it without you. We are co-workers. That's what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We are co-workers. We work together with him. You work with him. Although he has sent you, but he wants to work with you. Remember when the Bible says, talks about, and that's in Mark chapter 16, that when the apostles, they went out, they preached everywhere. And Jesus worked with them. Because they are fellow workers, he could not allow his fellow workers to go and leave them. He had to go with them. He had to work with them. Now God wants to work with you. He wants you to go out, and he follows you. He wants you to go somewhere when he is with you. But he's saying that you are not ready. You understand that? You are not ready. Therefore, it's your duty to prepare yourself. If somebody tells me that now you are going to Grand Rapid, I'm going to give you a ride, I'm going to drive you up to Grand Rapid, I don't wait for him to take me in a bathroom to have a shower. I'm the one to go there preparing myself. I don't wait for him to close me. I'm the one to put on. I'm the one to comb my hair, and I wait for him. Me, I have to prepare myself. Not because he told me that I'm going to ride you, I'm going to take you, then I sit, you know. I waited for you so that you can take me in bathroom and take my shower. I waited for you so that you can bring my shirt and pant. You put it on me. No, you know, because you're the one who told me that you are taking me. No. Although God has sent us, but he wants us also to be prepared. You understand? Yesterday I told you, my dad and mom here, the priest, they have also to be prepared to train. Because, sir and madam, you are not here to keep these people here in these seats. You are here to train them and send them. This ministry is is apostolic ministry, is a ministry which is there to send missionaries, to send people out and do the work. Yep. Not to train them, not just to keep them here and start telling us, you know, I have 2,000 members here, I have 100 members, 1,000 members here. We are not here to keep the members, because God is not after members. Right. He's after disciples.
Right.
We are not keeping followers. We need disciples. Now you are here to train them. They are here to be trained and go and fulfill the mission. Therefore, be prepared. Other people are coming. Some of them God is speaking with them. Some of them, they are here, although they are still giving some excuses. You know, I don't know if really it is God calling me. Yeah, he's already calling you. You know, I don't know how I can start it. You don't need to know how to start it. You need to allow God to start it in you. You don't need to know how you are going to start it. It's you to say that, God, here I am. Then God will do the rest of things. Yesterday we read in John chapter 4, verse 34, when Jesus told his disciple to lift up your eyes and see the harvest. We read there. Can we read it? Chapter 4, verse 34.
Receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors.
God bless you. There's a song which we sing in Uganda that when, I don't know if you are singing it here, because I've never heard you singing it. It says in Uganda that when he calls me, when he calls me, I'll answer. Oh, I've
never heard that.
Huh?
Never heard that.
You have never heard it?
No.
When he calls me, that when God calls me.
Now sing it again.
When he calls me, I'll answer. Other people, they sing that when he calls me, I'll follow. I don't know how you are singing it here. You don't sing?
No.
Nay.
Until you just said it, I never heard it.
Okay. He says that when he calls me, I'll answer. And I'll go everywhere where he sends me. When he calls me, I'll answer. Or when he calls me, I'll follow. And I'll go everywhere where he sends me. Now I don't know you here. When he calls you, are you answering? After answering, are you ready to send you everywhere where he wants you to send, where he wants to send you? When he calls you, are you ready to answer?
Yes.
Or you are ready to tell him, please, you know. Are you ready to go everywhere where he sends you?
Oh, yeah.
Now some person, yeah, when he calls me, I can answer. But sending me away from my family, from where I am, from this nation, I feel I cannot go. As long as you answer, you have to allow him to send you where he wants you to be.
Right.
You understand? Now here, here Jesus saying that lift up your eyes and see. Yesterday I told you that God wants you to lift up your eyes and see the need. We discussed about that. That there is a need. There is a need of we going out to do something. There is a need. People outside there, they are crying. People outside there, they need you. Now, if you are sent by God, the apostle means somebody who is sent. This ministry is operating under apostolic anointing. That means we are to be sent. Now, when we are sent, there's certain things which I want you to understand. That when God is sending you, and you are willing God to send you, until you reach on that level, sometimes it's going to be very difficult for you to do what you're supposed to do. When you reach on that level that when God sends me, I'm willing to let each and everything go and I do what he wants me to do. God to send you, there's certain thing which you have to put aside. You understand?
Yeah.
God to send you and say, hey, I'm sending you somewhere. There's certain things which you have to put aside. When you have not put it aside, it is very difficult you to be ready. Turn with me in Matthew. We are reading in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16.
I know that verse. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
Keep reading.
Yeah.
Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Mm-hmm. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
Do you have it in your Bible? Do you have it in your Bible, all of you? This is a young man who was rich. He had riches. He was so rich, that's what the Bible says. He had everything. Now, he came and met Jesus and told him, Master, good teacher, or good master, What can I do so that I can have eternal life? Then Jesus told him that, okay, keep all the laws, 10 commandments. Then the young guy was so excited because he has been doing that since when he was young. He told him, Master, I have been doing all those. I have been keeping them well. I have never broke anyone. Really, I'm so good in that area. If it's to have life, then I'm getting it. Then Jesus looked at him and said, okay, young boy, you are doing good. But there's something which is lacking in you. He told him, go and sell everything which you have so that you give it to the poor. Then because of that, he grieved in his heart. Because the Bible said that because he was so rich, he wanted the eternal life, but he had to separate himself from certain things. He wanted an eternal life to follow Jesus, but he had to trade down certain things. If you are willing and you are ready, God to send you, and he's going to send you, there's certain things which you have to lay down. There's riches within your life which you have to put aside. Go and study well all the apostles. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 17, when Jesus started preaching the gospel, he went on the Sea of Galilee. He met John and Peter. They were fishermen. Also, he called them and told them, please follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Do you know what they did? They left their boats there. They left their nets there. Even the fish which they had caught, they left it there. And they went.
And they left their father.
And they left even the father. Now, if God is calling you, if God is sending you, you have to be willing to put aside, to forsake certain things. Maybe certain things which are important in your life, which you feel that you cannot live without it, which you feel that because of that thing, that's why you are living. He wants you to forsake it. He wants you to put it aside. He wants you to put it aside and forget it. Then you follow him and he sends you. Now, some of you are not ready of that. Can I repeat it? If you are to serve God, and God is sending you, there's certain things which you have to put aside. There's certain things which you feel that really you are in love with it. You don't want to lose it. They are so dear to you. They are so important to you. Now here, King Jesus is calling you. And he's telling that, please, I want to send you. But you cannot go with your luggage.
No luggage.
No luggage. Although you feel that you love it, but you have to forsake it. And you're telling God, yeah, God, I want to serve you, but my luggage here. I want to serve you, but I have to go with it. Jesus is telling you that, please leave your boat. You are not going with the boat. leave your net, please. You are saying, ah, Pastor, God, let me go with your net, my net too. No, he's saying, leave the net and follow me. Now, it's you to choose. Either you leave the net, or you leave Jesus and stay with your net.
That's right.
Now the boy was grieved in his heart because he had possession, he had everything. Then Jesus told the disciples that it's very difficult for somebody who is rich to enter into the kingdom of God. Somebody can be rich in different areas. Somebody can be rich because she has money. Somebody can be rich because she has properties. Somebody can be rich because she has pride.
Knowledge.
He's so rich in pride, he's filled. You know? Somebody can be rich because he's knowledgeable. Somebody can be rich because he's educated.
He's what?
Educated.
Educated.
Mm-hmm. Somebody can be rich because he lives in a beautiful house. Somebody can be rich because he does not want anybody to speak to him or to direct him. Somebody can be rich in different areas. Now, if you are to follow Jesus, you have to deal with those riches. You have to break those riches. You have to surrender them to him and say, God, I'm leaving this, I'm following you. You have to break them. Most of people here, some of you are surrounded with those riches. You are not even willing to break. You are not even willing to surrender. You have the reach of pride. You feel like, you want to control everybody. You want to control everyone. You want to control even cockroaches in your house. Why? Because something inside you. You feel that I have to control each and everything. Even if the cockroaches, I have to control them. That is riches which you have to break down. He's saying, this is the apostolic ministry. He wants to send us, but there's certain riches which you have to deal with. You remember Elijah and Elisha? Elisha, he was a rich man. But he realized that I cannot follow this man, Elijah, before I destroy all my riches. He told him that, Master, give me time, let me come back. He went and killed all the cows and cook it and give it to the people. He destroyed each and everything. Then he followed Elijah. Why? Because he knew that now I have destroyed each and everything which could pull me back. Which could draw my attention back. I have destroyed it. He realized that he cannot make it. He cannot be successful with those riches. He had to break it. He had to destroy it. You cannot make it without those riches of yours. Tonight, go back and deal with it. Go back and deal with each and every rich within your life. Either the rich of pride, knowledge, money. You feel you are controlled by the money. You feel you need this and this. You need to break it. Sometimes some people you are self-centered. Even your prayers is self-centered. Me. You don't complain about other people. When you get money, it's me. Prayer, me. Everything, me. You don't have time to pray for other people. Then you need to break also that riches. Because he cannot send you in people whereby that you're not going to be concerned about them.
Right.
And all the time you think about you. You think about yourself. You pray for yourself. How are you going to work to be a blessing to those people? Now, God is sending you and God is calling you. You are not ready because some riches are controlling you. You need to break it. You need to destroy it. This young boy decided to lose the life than sharing what he has in order to give it the poor so you can follow Jesus. Then Jesus said that the rich guy, it's very difficult to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I remember when God called me into the ministry, it was a struggle. It was a struggle. I know that I'm trying to put everything into a book. But when he called me, I was working. Because I ran out from my father's house when I was 14. Then I started to find out my own way. I went and joined one of my friends and started living with him. But inside me had this determined, at least I'm going to work hard. At the age of 35, I must be rich. Having my own money, build my own house. I don't want to depend on anybody. I want to support my family. I want to support myself. Then I have to work hard. Then I started working hard. Because that's what I wanted. I didn't want to depend on anyone. Now this is time I gave my life to Christ. Now he's calling me that, please, you leave what you are doing. Come and serve me. I could not believe that. I want to work having money. Now you are telling me, leave what I'm doing, what you are doing, serve me. Moreover, I know that they are not going to pay me. And me, I need the money to support myself. I said, no. God, I love you, but I won't do that. Then I started struggling with God. I had my business. I was employed somewhere. I used to go and I work somewhere. In the evening, I come back and work on my business. On Friday, I can't buy certain things, plastics. We use plastics in Uganda, like plates, cups. I used to buy them from the Kampala capital city and take it in one of the cities. I take it on Fridays. I come back on Sunday after selling them. Then I go back where I'm working. The same time I had my business here. Even I have some workers. Now this God is telling me, leave it and everything, serving him, and I need the money. I don't want to beg anybody. I don't want to depend on anyone. I don't want. Then it was a struggle. Then, as the time went on, things went out of my hand. They fired me from where I was working. Then I said, okay, I don't mind, as long as I have my business here, I can trade my things, I come and work on this. After working with them, on them, people, they are not buying it. I could take them to sell them. Instead of people paying me, giving me cash, they just tell me, leave it there, if we sell it, we shall give you your money. Now, going back home, I don't have anything to eat. And even I don't have another money to buy things to use in order to have something which I'm going to sell the following day. Then it became very hard. But inside me I was feeling that you have to leave what you are doing. Then I had to lost each and everything. By the time when I decided, no, let me go and preach, let me go and do what I'm supposed to do, I feel peace. I feel joy. When I come back and say, no, I have to do something, that's a struggle. Until one day I believe that God has called me, but I have to set up something where I can get money out of it. There's a certain brother. He was a business guy. He used to trade certain things from Kampala and take them to another city. It's almost 350 miles. I told him that, brother, I have my money here. Let me give you my money. Also, as you are trading, buy certain things and go and sell them and give me the money back. It's okay. I gave him the money. He went and bought things. That day when he took those things to sell them there into that city, all my things people they did not pay. They told him, we shall pay you after some days. 9. He thinks people they bought it and they paid him well. But 9, it was in debts. He came and told me that I have to wait for another 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, after they have given him all the money, he came back into the city to buy other things to take them. We have robbers, I don't know where they came from. They cut his bag, they took all the money, including his money and mine. That was the end of his business. Now when he told me that, I had the Spirit of God telling that you are the causer of the problem. You are the one who have caused those problems to that guy. I started praying, God, help me, assist me so that he may not know that I'm the one who has brought those problems. That's the prayer. Assist me so that he may not know that I'm the one who caused those problems. Assist me, God, please. The guy lost his business. After that, I said, okay, I have to do something at least. I did a lot of things to see that at least I can get money. Until one day, it was in the morning, somebody came and knocked at my door. In the morning, I came out of my bed, opened up, there was a giant man standing before. I welcomed him, come in. He came in and asked me, are you Steve Busu? I said, yeah. Then he told me each and everything which God has ever told me. Then he told me that you have been fighting with God. God told you, stop working. Go and serve him. He's going to provide you. He's going to feed you. He's going to take care of you. But you have been fighting with him. Now he's giving you the last chance. If you do it again and you fight him, you are going to die. I was standing. I had to sit down. I told the guy to sit down. The guy refused. Now, after the man delivering the message, he walked out. But as I was seated, within two minutes, I said, no, this guy has to come back and tell me everything. I went out. I couldn't find the guy. I asked my neighbors, have you seen the man who has... They don't know. We have not seen anybody. I told them, there's a certain man whom I welcomed in my house. And they told me that we have not seen that guy. And we didn't know that you have anybody in your house. And we have not seen him going out. The guy disappeared. I knew that that was an angel of God.
Right.
From that day, he says, okay, God, I'm going to leave each and everything. Now, some of you, maybe one day God is going to tell you to leave what you are doing so they can serve him. Then that is going to be a struggle to you. You don't want to leave it. Leave your riches and serve me. I don't want. I'm sending you. I'm not going because of this and this and this. How am I going to feed my family? How am I going to sustain myself? Because those were things which I was asking myself. I don't want to become a burden to anybody. I want to support myself, and here God is telling me he's going to take care of me, and moreover he's in heaven. When the guy who is in heaven, I don't have even a transport to go there and tell him that please give me money to eat. But I had to agree and let each and everything go. And I decided to obey him. I didn't want to lose my life. People, you who are seated here, some of you are missionaries. You are going to leave where you are into another places. But to try to go into another places, there's certain things which you have to leave. You might leave your job, you might leave your house, you might need even to sell your house and go to another place. You have to be willing to do that.
Yep.
People who are not willing to do that, they will never follow Christ.
Right.
People who are not willing to do that, they are not. They will never serve God. People who are not willing to leave their families. You know, my, I was born in this city, I grew up in this city, therefore I'm used of this city, all my parents are here in this city. How can I leave this city? Don't tell that crap to God.
Is that clear?
Yeah, he allowed you to grow into that city. He allowed you to be born into that city. He allowed your parents to be in that city. But you are not going to die into that city. You are needed somewhere. Now you have to leave them and go and start another life where God wants you to be. You understand?
Oh yeah.
I can give you the example of our Jesus Christ. The Lord our Jesus Christ, remember he was in heaven? He was living a better life. Angels, they were worshipping him. You know, angels, they were worshipping him. He was living in a world where there's no sin. You get me? He had angels worshipping him, serving him. Now this is a guy living in heaven, coming into this world, being born over into a family. Moreover, the guy was a carpenter. During that time, they had no money. He was born in a poor family. He left all silver and gold in heaven. Now he is here on earth in a poor family. Even they cannot support him. Because we don't see Jesus going into the school. That means maybe they were not even able to afford to take him to the school. We are seeing Jesus putting on one garment since he came on earth until he went back. He had one garment. He had one sandal. Imagine the guy who has all those riches in heaven. All those riches. Angels are worshipping him. Angels are praising him. They are serving him. He's living the world without sin. He is a king there. He is a lord there. Now he is in this world. He left all those riches. The Bible said that he became poor.
Yep.
Why he had to reach the riches, those riches? Because the Father had sent him on the mission.
Yep.
Why he had to come and live in the poor family? Because the Father had sent him on a mission. Why he had to spend the nights on the mountains? Because the Father had sent him on the mission. He had to leave all the glory. He had to leave all the honor and everything in heaven and come here. If Jesus did that, we have to do so.
Amen.
Then the apostles were amazed. who can be saved really? Then Peter answered, said, "Behold, we have forsook all and followed thee. What shall we have there? He was amazed and he's asking. That we have struck, we have left, we have put aside our boats, our families, and everything. We are following you. And now, what are we going to gain? Am I speaking to somebody? Am I talking to someone? Are you following me?
Oh, yeah.
You understand me well. The apostles, to do the work which they did, They had to sacrifice. The apostle to do the work which they did, they had to put certain things aside. The apostles to do what they did, they had to sell what they had. They left their lands. They left their houses. Sometimes when I read the ministry, when I study the ministry of Jesus, it amazes me. I also have to think about this. You have your house. You have your bed. You can change the clothes, put another shirt, another pant, anytime where you want. Now you find a guy who does not have even somewhere where he sleeps. You ask him where you're sleeping, and said tells you that I don't have anywhere to sleep. And this guy who does not have even a house, he's telling you that follow me. It does not make sense. The guy does not have where to sleep. He has one sandal. From Monday to Monday, he does not change. When he's in service, that is the same sandal. He has one garment. He does not change it. Today he's preaching on the Lake of Galilee with the same garment. He's in the synagogue with the same garment. And he's telling you, Mr. You, come and follow me. And you leave your house and you follow somebody who does not have anywhere to sleep. You leave your clothes and start following someone who has one garment and he will never give it to you. If he cannot change, therefore cannot provide one for you. Now this is apostles. They are busy having their boats, making money. They have their houses. Now the guy comes from nowhere. Please, can you follow me? Can you follow me? And also they start following. It does not make sense. Following somebody who does not have even a way of sleeping. And they start following the guy. Peter had a wife.
Yep.
When you read in Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, he had a wife. Because one day Jesus came to visit their home when the mother-in-law of Peter was sick. That means he had a family, but he left everything. And he did not go back to tell his wife, please, there's a certain man. He's a stranger, but I'm going to follow him. He did not ask, he just went.
Right.
Maybe the wife was waiting for the food. The guy is not sick. Maybe he was waiting for money to take the mother-in-law in hospital. The guy is not sin. Follow the who? The guy who does not have anywhere to sleep. It does not make sense. Now, my brothers, if you try to question the things of God, if you try to put the things of God and the way how he's done these things into your common knowledge, you never make it.
Right.
You never make it. Because it's very difficult to understand it. That's why we have to believe it and we say, you are our God, you have our future, you know where we are going, therefore we are following you, without any question. But if you ask yourself, how he has done this, you are going to become crazy. You understand? You just follow.
Yes.
The good thing, when we follow him, we are in the safe hands.
Yes.
He is not there to hurt us, no. He has a good plan towards us. We are in safe hands. When we say that we are leaving our houses, we are leaving all our riches, we are following him, we are leaving our jobs, we are leaving our families, we are leaving everything, God, we are here for you, then you are in safe hands. You know that the guy who's leading you, he's a good guy. You might keep your job, the following day you lose it. And moreover, you have disobeyed God, and even the job is gone. You might say, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving my home here. I'm not even leaving my house. One day, it can be caught by fire, and everything is gone. You have disobeyed God, and even the house is gone. No, I grew up in this city. Let me tell you, what do you mean with that city? Then Jesus said that everyone that left forsook houses, brothers, or sisters, or father, and mother, wife, children, lands, for my name's sake, they shall receive. Who forsake lands, houses? Are you ready to forsake them? Are you ready to put it aside? Are you ready to hate your life because of Christ? Are you ready to defend what you believe? Are you ready to defend what God is calling you to do? Are you ready? Are you ready to leave your city? Therefore, today when we leave this place, go home and fall on the floor and tell your God, I'm surrendering. Take each and everything which you need. I'm willing and I'm willing and I'm more than willing to serve you. I'm willing to go everywhere where you send me. If you're not ready, don't do that. If you're not ready to lose, to forsake what you have, don't do it. But if you feel that you are ready, if you feel that really you are ready to forsake each and everything on his behalf, do that tonight. Because we have a great work here which must be done. And God is waiting for you. All those things which we don't want to let go, we do not come with it. There's a certain man who had a lot of friends. But one of his friends was money. Riches. He had the riches, money. And one day Mr. Death came and visited him and told him, please, I'm taking you tomorrow. Then this guy told Mr. Death, please, Mr. Death, can you wait? And Mr. Death came and told him that I'm taking you to God. Then he told Mr. Death, can you wait for me and I tell my friend to escort me before God? Then Mr. Death gave him some days. Then he told Mr. Money, his friend, that Mr. Money, I'm going before God. The Mr. Death came and told me that God wants me. I want to go and see him. Can you escort me? Then Mr. Money told the guy that, have you ever seen anybody who goes before God and comes back? Have you ever seen anybody who goes before God and comes back? Then Mr. Money told him that, I'm not going with you because I know I'm not going to come back. Secondly, you came on earth. That is Mr. Money. You came on earth. You met me here. You are to use me here, and you are to leave me here. You met me here, you found me here, you are to use me here, and you have to leave me here. I'm not going anywhere. Now, always the money we meet, we find money here and riches here. We use the riches here, and we leave it here. It does not come on us to go where we are supposed to go. Now, if you cannot let the money go, riches go, so that you can serve God, the day when you are going to appear before God, the money won't be there. Riches won't be there. We have, in Uganda, we have, there's a certain nation called Congo, that's our neighbor country. There's a former president who was called Mobutu. This was a man who was very, very, very rich. Because that nation is rich. But he used to grab and steal gold and everything and sell it in France and different nations. And all that money was put on his account. The guy had money. He was rich. That day when they overtook his government, Uranian went to France. That's where he passed away. But let me tell you, the time when he died, he was a poor guy. He had no money. Even he was not able, they were not able even to buy a piece of place where they can bury him. What they did, they just dig a pit. And they buried him when he's standing like this. Up to today, he's like this. The guy who had all the money couldn't save him, the money couldn't fight on his behalf, the money couldn't assist him. He was gone, he's gone, he's gone. And other people, they're enjoying that money. Up to today, he's like this. That's how they buried him. And moreover, those are things which stops us from serving God. It's high time. You people, your forefathers, they went in Africa. Some of them, they were killed there because of the gospel. They gave even their life on the point of being dead because of the gospel, because of serving God. And I believe because of that, really God blessed them. God is calling you if you are ready also to reach on the point of losing your life because of God. Go back and lay down on your carpet, on your floor. Tell God that I'm ready. I'm surrendering and everything. Everything which you feel that really is holding your life, let it go. Every riches which you feel that this is the riches, let it go. Leave it. Put it aside. And say that, God, I'm here. Let your will be done. I'm ready to be sent everywhere, anywhere. Send me anywhere, God. Because there's no need of dying in your city because you were born in your city and you go in hell. I'd rather go and die somewhere where God wants me to be than being somewhere where God does not want me to be.
All right. Amen.
I'd rather die somewhere where I'm serving and doing the work of God done. Being somewhere where I'm comfortable, but I'm going to hell. I'd rather die somewhere because I obeyed God than being somewhere when I'm comfortable, but when I'm rebellious. That is me. I don't know what of you. Okay, let me read this verse and I leave you and you go away. Mm-hmm.
What verse?
Turn with me in John.
Chapter.
John. John chapter 12. We are reading verse 25.
John 12:25. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Mm-hmm. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Mm-hmm. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor.
Can you stop there? You hear? If anyone loves me, if he that loves his life shall lose it. If you love your life more than God, if you love your life, you're so mindful about your life, you think about your life, you know, my life, 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 the Bible said that you're going to lose it. He goes on saying, he that hate his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. When you lose your life, when you hate your life because of God, then you will keep it. You will have it. If any man serves me, let him follow me. If you decide to follow Jesus, then you have to follow the instructions. You have to follow what he tells you. No question, when he asks, he tells you to do something. There's a certain brother, he was a soldier in Uganda. Was a military man. But he told us that when you are a military guy and they tell you to shoot your mom, don't ask. Shoot her. After shooting her, then ask why.
Right.
That's what he told us. Once they said that shoot her, it's your mom. You shoot her then after her death and say why I had to do that after she has gone. Now, even on the side of God, when you say that I'm going to follow Christ, don't ask him questions.
Right.
Why me? Why do you want me to go? He is God. He is God. Then follow and do what he wants you to do. In my life, since I started ministry, God has been talking to me. But when he tells me to do something, when he commands me, go and do this, and I ask him, he will come and speak to me again. When I ask him the second time, he will never do it again. Now it's up to me to obey or to rebel. Now I know that. Once he tells me, go and do this, I ask him, God, I have not understood what. He comes again, go and do this. Now when I ask him the second time, he will never answer. Because he knows that I have understood what he's saying. But I'm trying to dodge him. I'm trying to put up some excuses. Then he does not waste his time. Then it's up to me, either I do or not. And I know if I don't do what's next, then I have to go.
Yep.
Now even you, some of you question God, why God me? No. I don't think that God will be able to do it. Why me? Why not so and so? You try to give excuses. Thank God, maybe he answers you more than 5 times. But me... Maybe he answers more than 5 times. But I don't know why me answers me twice and keep quiet. Even, you know, the first one is to tell him what I'm supposed to do. After asking, he comes the second time. Then he stops there. Now it's up to me to sort up myself. Either I go or not. But because I don't want to be disobey him, I have to go.
I know it.
I have to go. No matter the situation which I'm going to pass in, the problems, other things, but I have to go. Because he's my God. I live because of him. I am what I am because of him. Without him, I cannot make it. Without him, I cannot live. Without him, I'm not there. I'm there because of him. I wouldn't see even your faces if it wasn't him. I wouldn't have wonderful friends like you if it wasn't him. Maybe you are my friends, but sometimes maybe I hurt you or I offend you. But don't care about that. I'm your friend. You have to love me. I'm your friend. You understand? Therefore, be ready to leave, to put aside certain things. And even also, be ready to face some challenges. When God sends you, challenges has to be there. Don't think that when God calls you into the ministry, you never face challenges. Challenges are part of the ministry. Challenges are part of life. Anybody who does not want to face challenges, he will never make it. Challenges is a part of the ministry. Challenge is part of life. Once you know that, you never complain. Me, I don't complain. I don't complain when I meet challenges. I don't complain. I was supposed to come here in May. Then the guy who had told me from last year that I'll pay half of your ticket, he changed his mind and said, "No, Pastor, I'm not going to pay it. I'm not going to give it to you." I had organized, I've already booked even the flight, I have that to pay the money. The guy came and told me, "Pastor, I'm not giving you the money." Ask him what? Why? I feel I don't like to give it to you. I had nothing to do. I had to call the officers of BA that prays. I won't be able to pay that money because the one who was supposed to do that, she has changed his mind. But I don't curse God. I don't complain before God. No. Because I know challenges has to be there. After the man has changed his mind, another challenge came up. I have my car. When I bought this car, I bought it from a certain man whom my administrator and one of the pastors whom they knew, and they're the one who introduced him to me. Then I gave him the part of the money I had to pay the balance. Then I did not request, I didn't ask him for the logbook because I know that I have the balance to pay. Now, when I was about to finish the balance, I told the guy that I need the logbook. I cannot finish all the money without giving me the logbook. The guy started dodging me. Then I was in the office. Two men came in. They just called me. First called me. Then I told them that I'm in the office. You can come. Then they came. They introduced themselves to me. "That there's a car which you have." I say, "Yeah, I bought it. Would I have some few balance which I have to clear?" They don't know. The owner of the car, he's looking for that car. I said, "How?" The owner of the car, they pulled out the logbook, they pulled out the documents, and they told me that the man who sold a car to you, he went and bought the car and did not finish the money. He had to pay a certain balance. Now, when he sold the car, he did not clear the balance so that guy could give him the logbook. Now, they had written certain agreement. He had to pay the balance within 4 months. This has gone up to a year. Now the owner of the car is looking for his car. They wanted to go and bring police. But when they heard my name, Pastor Steve, we know him. We don't need to call the police. Let's go and we meet him. Then the guy came. They came and they told me everything. I told them everything. That I paid this the amount of the money, this is the balance. I've been waiting for him to give me the balance and give me the. I had to go and meet the guy, the owner of the car. The owner of the car told me, "Pastor, I'm sorry. The good thing, when they told me that you are the one who have a car, I ever heard about your name, then we decided to come and talk to you. I decided to send people to come and talk to you. But the car, he showed me the agreement and everything." Then we called that other guy. The guy came. Now when he came, I said to him, "Please, this is the amount of the money which I have to pay you." He was telling me another amount of the money which I don't understand. Now what I did, the good thing that each the money which I gave him, he had to sign down. I went to bring the documents. As I sent somebody to bring the document, the guy disappeared. Now I came into another struggle again. This is a man has changed his mind of paying the air ticket. Here comes in my car. I had to give them the car. Then I start calling this guy, please come and we sit with you and see how we can solve this thing. He refused. I don't trust our police. They were telling me, go to the police, go and report him, you know. I told them, but this police, I don't trust them. They are not faithful. They will never work on things well. They need money. I cannot bribe them. They want to be bribed. I cannot bribe them. And this man, this guy, he can bribe them. Now I was in the... I was asking myself, should I do this? Should I go? Then I had the Spirit of God telling me that, go to police and make a statement. I went to the police. I made a statement. The policeman, they told me that this guy, one day, he sold one car to four people. One car. Four people. He took all their money. And I asked the policeman, they brought him here. The policeman told me yes. Then after that, he couldn't answer me. Then after that, he told me that after some few months, he was caught again and they brought him here because of an issue of a car. Then I asked him after that, he couldn't answer me because he was bribing them. Then after giving up the report and everything, they told me, don't mind, on Friday we shall arrest him and we call you, if not Friday, on Saturday, if not Saturday, on Sunday. I waited Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, no any call. When I called them, they sat confusing me. You know, you have to go and see the other guy. I told them that no, that guy, the owner of the car, he does not know me. I wanted you to assist me. How can I bring back my car? I have the balance here. I saw them, they were confusing me. Then I asked myself, what can I do? Then until I remember a friend of mine who's working in the president's office. I called him. I told him everything. He's the one who assisted me to bring back that car. We worked on that from through May, June, up to in July. That's when I got the car back. But I don't turn against my God. I knew that those are challenges. Challenges are part of life. Now when you know that, you'll be able to handle them well. In your ministry, anywhere where God sends you, you'll be able to handle them well. Even in the ministry, in the church, maybe you're a leader, maybe you're going to become a pastor somewhere. Yeah, those challenges has to be there. Because remember, people, they come from different background, different behaviors. The way how they see things is not the way how you see them. Now you have to bear them, you have to handle them well until you put what God has given you into their life. Those are challenges which you are going to meet. I don't want to deceive you. No, when God sends you, everything is okay. No way. No way. Challenges has to be there. Even the apostles, although they were called by God, sent by God, they were beaten. They were kicked out of the cities. God called them, sending them, they are kicking them out of the city. Yeah! God called you, yeah, God is with you. I face challenge, yes! Why do you have to face challenges? Because the devil is your enemy. Don't think the devil will sit down and say, okay, mister, you go on and do the work. No, he has also to fight you. John the Baptist, he was the greatest man. But do you know how he died? He was arrested, put in prison, they cut off the head. Those are challenges. Now, if you are willing to serve God, challenges must be there. You get me? Challenges has to be there. That is God. Challenges have to be there. Now, when you know that, you'll be able to handle each and everything smoothly. You will never complain against God. You never ask God questions, because you know that is part of your life, part of the ministry. If you don't know that, you are going to question God. If you don't know that, you are going to complain against your God. If you don't know that, you are going to turn against Him. But when you know that, that's normal. You know, they have to be there. That's normal. Your God is good. Whether challenges are there or not, He is still God. Whether things are going on well or not, He is your God. You love Him. Whether people, they are turning against you, you praise your God because He's so good. You never say that God is bad because of the challenges. Because you know that they are supposed to be there. God is good all the time. Out of the season, God is good. In the season, God is good. Out of the challenges, God is good. When there's no challenge, God is good. In each and every hour, every minute, every area, our God is good. Whether you are rejected, God is good. Whether you are denied, God is good. Whether they kick you from a certain house, God is good. Whether the people listen to you or not, God is good. Whether you have money or not, God is good. Whether you have somewhere to sleep or not, God is good. Or else the devil is bad. The devil is bad. God is good. Once you put that in your mind, you love your God and you serve Him faithfully because He's good.